Variate. Anyway, we're not going to be in Hebrews today. Yeah. There he goes. What is it? Deviate. It sounds kind of devious, so I didn't want to go on that one. You can't hear old guys when they mutter, you know. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2. It's Christmas season coming, and I wanted to go back to Luke chapter 2. Probably one of the most well-known passages on Christmas. Luke chapter 2. Going to be looking today at the perspective of the shepherds. And I've done this before, but there was some things that I wanted to review, and not only that, but I saw some new things, and I wanted to discuss that this morning. But it's always good to review this anyway, especially around Christmas. It's good to review this passage. And in other places like John 3:16, we have Romans chapter 6, we have Romans chapter 8, we have Ephesians. There's so many passages that may stand out to us, maybe that we've studied before, but it's so good to go back and review them. So good to go back and look at them again. I had a chance to read through Philippians recently, and it used to be like one of my favorite passages to go to. Now I go to Hebrews. I love Hebrews, but Philippians, it was fun because I went back and I just to read through it, just to see it again, and yet I saw stuff I've never seen. So it's so good to review, and I don't know that I've never seen it. It's just never hit me the way that God had intended for me to see it at that moment. But in Luke chapter 2, we hear this oftentimes at Christmas. Even if you watch that Peanuts movie, you get to hear it, which is really cool. But in Luke chapter 2, we're going to be reading verses 8 to 20 today. I want to look at the shepherd's perspective here. Verses 8 to 20. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born to you, for you, a Savior, and who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby and as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this passage, this well-known passage, been used so often. And yet, Lord, sometimes when it's used so often, we gloss over the real truth of it. But Father, you had so much here. You had so much happen. And it was stupendous. It was amazing what you had happen. So, Lord, I pray that as we get into this, you would impress to us the importance of your Son coming. Father, just how important that was and how vital it was for our own life. We love you and honor and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't usually, I have a terrible time preaching on something in the middle of something where we haven't been studying. So I like to go back over and see why it's there. But we don't have that much anyway in Luke. We're only up to chapter 2. But what he has just talked about was the fact that Jesus was born. He was born in Bethlehem, the first part of chapter 2. So we get into verse 8, and he starts off and says, in this same region, there were some shepherds. So we're talking about around Bethlehem. We're talking about the place where David was a shepherd. Remember David, the one who was a man after God's own heart. The one who was courageous as a shepherd. Shepherds were courageous, by the way. They remember with David, he killed a lion, he killed a bear, he protected those sheep. They were very courageous. And especially, I would say, especially here in this case, but that's a theory that I'll get into in a minute. But they were a very courageous lot. They didn't hide behind the walls of the city. They stayed out right there with the sheep, and they watched over them for the animals, for thieves. They were known to fight off quite a bit, several entities coming after the sheep. So the shepherds were there. They were staying out in the field and keeping watch over the flock by night. Now, one thing to know about the shepherds, we've gone over this before, but they were barred from the temple worship. They could not come into the temple and worship like normal folks because they were the lowest class of people. I mean, the shepherds were out among the sheep and they didn't smell good. They were not etiquette-wise. They weren't very good. They weren't able to come to the temple all the time. They weren't able to participate in all the rites and the traditions because they had to be out with the sheep 24/7. They were there. They were watching them. They were caring for them, whether they were their sheep or whether they were hired to do it. But they were the ones who were out all the time. So they were looked down on by the priests, by the temple folks, by the normal citizens. They were looked down on. They didn't participate a lot in what the upper class participated in. So remember that as we get into this. But they were keeping watch over the sheep. The word keeping watch was watching watches. They were watching watches. They were making sure that those sheep were safe. And it was outside of Bethlehem. Now, there's one thing I want to bring into this, and this is the theory I was talking about. But this was a prominent thought in those days. This comes from Vincent, who is he wrote on word studies in the New Testament. He was a very amazing Greek commentator. But he says, there was near Bethlehem, on the road to Jerusalem, from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, a tower known as Magdal Eder, or the watchtower of the flock. Here was the station where shepherds watched the flocks destined for sacrifice in the temple. So it was a specific thing. Animals strained from Jerusalem on any side, as far as from Jerusalem to Magdal Eder, that tower, were offered in sacrifice. It was a settled conviction among the Jews that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. Remember the Magi, they came and asked where it's to be born. They looked in, it was in Bethlehem. So it was a settled conviction the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. But that same conviction, that conviction was that he was to be revealed from Magdal Eder. Magdal Eder, which was that tower which overlooked the sacrificial lambs for the temple. The beautiful significance of the revelation of the infant Christ to shepherds watching the flocks destined to be sacrificed, that's what needs no commentary here, or no comment, which I thought was fascinating. I thought that was fascinating. I wanted to bring that out to you because that was, and it's, again, we're not told that in Scripture. So I don't present it as solid doctrine, but it was what the people in that day expected. And it's what happened. I don't know why they expected that. But they also expected that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and he was, because that was prophesied. But that was prophesied in the Old Covenant, Old Testament. But they also expected that the announcement would be made right there at that tower, and it actually probably was. But if you go on, verse 9, and an angel of the Lord suddenly, I want you to see that word suddenly, because if you go down to verse 13, it says, suddenly there appeared with the angel more angels. So you had a very sudden thing happen. It was probably Gabriel, most likely Gabriel. He was the spokesman. But it was suddenly, it was a glorious appearance. So what is that? Then the glory of the Lord, look what it says in this. It says, the angel of the Lord suddenly stood up before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terribly frightened. What is the glory of the Lord? Well, the only thing we have in Scripture is a Shekinah glory, the angelic glory, the glory that is so bright that the angels in heaven, they have six wings, two to cover their feet, two to cover their face, and two to fly with. That's what we have a description of the ones in the throne room of God. They're covering their face because of the Shekinah glory, even the angels. So here the angel appeared, and that glory, whatever it was, whether it was a Shekinah glory or whether it was just an amazing aspect of God's glory, it was scary, right? It was completely scary, because look what it says. Whatever else we don't know about it, we do know it says they were terribly frightened. The word's terribly frightened. There's three words in the original language for that. It's phobeo, phobos, megos. Phobeo, phobos, megos. The word phobos or phobeo, it's from the same word phobos, and it's our word phobia. We got our word phobia. It's frightened. It's if somebody has a phobia of something, they have a dread of something, a fright of something. If you have a phobia of heights, you don't want to get over on a stepladder. You don't want to crawl up on the roofs I crawl up on, because you have a great fear of that. And that's what that word means, but it actually says it twice. So what it's saying is with fear they were afraid, mega. And that word mega is actually megos. It's the word we get our word mega from. Huge, massive. A mega mall is what? A huge mall. It's something great, something great big. So with fear, they were afraid massively. Mega. Right? Now, these guys were not cowards. These guys were courageous to begin with. Remember what we talked about? With David, and they were known for their courage. But the problem here is they were deathly afraid. Deathly afraid. And look what it says, verse 10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. How often he says that. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. And the word do not be afraid literally is do not let fear control you, literally. Don't let this fear control you, because you need to understand something. And look what he says, because this is fun. Look what he says. He says, do not be afraid, or don't let this fear control you, for behold, anytime you see behold, it's like, hey, catch this. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. There's a mouthful. I could preach one whole sermon on this. I bring you good news. What is good news? Remember what good news is? In Scripture, it's the word euangelion. Euangelion. And anytime you see the word euangelion, you can translate it good news, or you can translate it gospel. Literally, that word is the gospel. He says, behold, I bring you the gospel. This is the angel of God speaking for God, and the glory all around him. The people are dying of fear. The people that should never have been so afraid were scared to death. He says, don't let this fear control you, because guess what? I'm bringing you the gospel. He says, catch this. I'm bringing you the gospel. The gospel of what? Great joy. Great joy. And guess who it's going to be for? Even you. For all the people. Everybody, even you. Because they would have never expected the gospel, the good news of great joy, to be for them. They were the last ones that anybody would have expected it for. And yet, this is who God chose to bring it to. You know, I've always wondered about them. Why would God choose them to bring it? Because this was amazing to them. But yet, this is who God chose to announce the birth of his son to. To the shepherds. not to the temple priests, not to the rulers, not to the ones in charge, not to the pastors, not to the boards, you know, the church board. He chose the ones who were looked down on in society, who were actually some of the most courageous people, and yet they were scared. And I think that was one point that he wanted to bring, but also the fact that he chose those who did not have that prestige in society, and yet he chose them. Look what it says, verse 11. For today, right now, and literally that is right now, for today or to right now, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. In the city of David, so we know we're talking about Bethlehem. They knew they were talking about Bethlehem. But he says, there has been born. That's in the past tense, but it's a one-time action. It's called the aorist tense, but it's a one-time action. He says, there has been born a Savior. They knew what Savior meant. All right? Because to those sheep, they were the Savior at times. At times, not all the time, but at times. Because the word Savior, it's a compound word. It's two words. It means safe and to make. So to make safe. Someone to make safe. And it's talking about a deliverer or a rescuer. And what they would have understood it to be was to make safe from imminent threat, from something that is imminent, going to happen right now. So if a lion was coming up, they were going to be the savior of the sheep by killing the lion. So they understood what that word meant. It meant there was an imminent threat. There was a definite threat that had to be handled, had to be taken care of. So he said, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And Christ being Messiah, Lord being Master. Who is the Messiah, the Master Messiah. Excuse me. But now remember, they would have known from their parents, from their grandparents, from their great-grandparents, from their great-great-grandparents. All the way back as far as they could remember, and all the way back as far as their parents and grandparents could remember, they would have been looking for a Messiah. But they always looked for him. And remember, they hadn't heard from God for over 400 years. There wouldn't been a true prophet for 400 years. God had been silent for, now think about that, 400 years. Our country has been going over 200 years. Well over 200, I mean 220 some, whatever. But whatever it is, it's been more than that, hadn't it? Yeah, 1776, okay. Well, anyway, it's getting up on years. But it's still less than 400 years. Can you remember back when our country started? I mean, we have to remind ourselves of what the country was when it started. We have to remind ourselves of what our founding fathers wanted. And that's been coming up a lot lately because of the politics going on. But we have to be reminded of that. And these folks here, these shepherds, I'm sure, you know, yes, it's true. Messiah is going to come someday, somehow, but he's never come yet. And it wasn't just those 400 years of silence. It's their whole history of probably 1,500 to 2,000 years that Israel has been looking for a Messiah. So it wasn't like they were any different than any other generation. Oh, yeah, Messiah is going to come sometime. Right? But suddenly, that word suddenly, he appeared. This angel appeared. It was brilliant. And he said, this Savior, this Messiah, this Lord, has been born today, right now. Now think of that. Think of that. Because would they have believed it if some guy came up and said, oh yeah, by the way, the Messiah is born in Bethlehem? All right, yeah, we've been looking for him for thousands of years. I'm sure we're going to be the one. But no, the angels appeared. This was supernatural. This was huge. And they saw it as huge, and they were scared to death. But look what it says. Verse 12. This will be a sign for who? For everybody? No, for you. This will be a sign for you. In other words, the angels were sending them on this journey. This will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, and the word cloths is swaddling cloths. So it was what poor people use, those strips of cloth, because they couldn't afford a big blanket and such, a cloak. But you'll find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And remember, we're talking to shepherds. I mean, we look at it and say, oh yeah, a nice manger. We're talking to shepherds. There's a feed bunk. Lying in a feed bunk. So it's not only going to have strips of cloth on, like a poor kid, but it's also going to be lying in a feed bunk. And the shepherds are going, are you kidding me? The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, going to be dressed like a pauper and lying in a feed bunk? I mean, where's the royal prince? You know, where's the royal castle? What's going on? I'm sure all of that was heading through their minds, because it's made no sense to them, but keep going. This was the sign, and specifically given to them. And to reinforce that, verse 13, suddenly, again, there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Suddenly, again, there appeared. But catch this, because this is really cool. Look what it says. Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of what? Heavenly hosts. You know what that word is? I have so much fun when I find this stuff. I'm going, oh, I can't wait to tell people. And it's so hard because she won't let me tell her anymore. I come out and I want to tell her, and she's going, wait a Sunday. I want to hear it Sunday. What if the Lord comes before Sunday? I want you to know. But this, the word heavenly host, you know, literally it means heaven's armies. These were the fighting angels. This wasn't Gabriel. Gabriel was the announcing angel. This was Michael's horde. Michael was the archangel. These were the fighting angels. And when you say, well, what do angels have to fight? Oh, have you ever read Daniel? Yeah, remember Daniel? He prayed, and the first time, is before he got done praying, Gabriel was standing there. And the second time he prayed, and it was 3 weeks. 3 weeks, he's going, what's happening? How come it's 3 weeks in, Gabriel comes and he says, yeah, I came as soon as you started praying, but you know, there's a war going on. Satan wouldn't let me through, and I couldn't get through, and I finally had to call Michael the archangel, and then the war really started in. And then he could get through. There's angels in heaven that are warriors. There's an army in heaven. This word literally means heaven's armies. And you guess what they're presenting? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth what? Peace. That horde of army angels were saying, peace. Peace on earth. Among men. Peace on earth among men. Glory to God. They were used to saying glory to God. Never in this context. Never when Jesus, because they saw Christ all the time in heaven. And they would bow down, they would cover their face, the Shekinah glory. They would glory to God, praise God all the time. But they came to earth, God is a little baby wrapped in swaddling cloth, lying in a feed bunk. And they're saying glory to God. Yes, glory to God, but with them, this was all new. So even with the angels, you had something all brand new. So the shepherds were amazed. The angels, I believe, were even amazed. Because here, this helpless one, in which they would have defended in a moment's notice, they would have come and destroyed every person around there who had any bad thoughts about Jesus in a moment's notice, if that's what God desired. That was their army. It was his army. And yet they said, peace to men. Peace among men with whom God is pleased. You know, I would really love to go on that, with whom he is pleased, because I think there's a very wonderful explanation to that, but there's no way we are going to be able to get into that. So, go to verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and by the way, that explanation is really cool, with whom he is pleased, because even Paul says, I make it my ambition to be well-pleasing to God. So you have that same word going on. Okay, fine. 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And the word made known is from the word gnosko. It's the Lord has allowed us to experience, to catch this, to experience it. But let's go now. Let's go now. Let's not wait around. Let's go now. Now, we're not told whether they left someone in charge, left someone on that tower to watch. We're not told. I'm sure that would be the practical thing to do. But I think they all, because this huge, massive, angelic presence, I think they all wanted to go see what was going on. I don't think any of them are going to volunteer. They all stay. You guys go ahead. I'm a little tired. No, this was amazing. And so they went. We don't know whether they left someone or not. Verse 16, so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger, which the grammar there indicates that they had to search. They searched around, but they finally found that manger, that the right feed bunk, the right barn or cave or whatever they used. Verse 17, when they had seen this, I want you to catch this. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. They made known the statement. You know what these shepherds were? They were the world's first evangelists after Christ was born. They were the first evangelists after Christ was born. Because what did they make known? The good news, the gospel. The gospel is what had been told to them. This is the gospel. That the Messiah has been born today. This is the good news of great joy. This is the gospel. And so they went out and they made known the gospel. And look what happens. Verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherd. All who heard it wondered. In other words, they thought about it. They took this in and they thought through this whole thing. You suppose, why would you believe a shepherd? Why would you believe the lowest class? And yet what the shepherds were talking about was amazing. That angels stood, that God's army suddenly appeared and said, peace. We're giving you peace because of this Christ. That the angels, the angel of God, and all the glory, and it made us afraid, but we had to go see if it was true. And guess what? The sign was true. The sign that the angel said that we would need was true. Because we would have gone and looked in the palace. We would have gone and looked in the temple. We would have gone and looked in the finest house in town. But guess what? We went and looked in a feed bunk. And there it was true. So what was highly unlikely is the sign that God gave through the angel, and it was true. And they're telling these people this, and they're in wonder. But not only them, but look at verse 19. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. So you have the reaction of two different ones. You have the people that they're telling, they're in wonder. They're going, whoa. You know, so they really have to think about this. This is something great and something, but Mary treasured these things. Mary calmly took this in. Why? Because she already knew. She already knew the truth. But she held these things dearly in her heart and pondered them in her heart. Really thought about them a lot. Verse 20. This was the shepherd's deal. The shepherds went back and what? Glorifying God and praising God for all they had heard and seen just as had been told them. So there's the different reactions. But what I wanted you to see today was the fact that God chose these shepherds. He chose somebody that nobody thought he would choose to announce the gospel, to be the first evangelist ever after Christ was born. God specifically chose them who nobody else would choose. And he says, he told them that this is going to be for all men, for everyone. And yes, he also said later on, the armies, they said, for whom he is pleased, and I'd love to get into that. But for all, what Christ did was for all, especially those shepherds who were belittled, who were put down, who were ridiculed, who never thought they had a chance of anything godly. But the shepherds are the one who got to tell others about the truth. Isn't that cool? God put this whole Christmas story, which we think about every year, we read about every year, and he put it right down into the fact that God could even use somebody like us. I don't see us as being a whole lot different than shepherds or anyone there. Anyone. Why? Are we the dredges of... Who cares? Fact is, God loves people. All of us. And he's wanting to use all of us. And guess how he used these shepherds? He made them evangelists. He made them into people who would reach out and share the truth. And guess what he wants for us? He wants us to reach out and share the truth. No, we're not all evangelists. We don't all have the gift of evangelism. But we all have an aspect of God, some aspect of God's gift. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a gift from God. He has given you that freely. And he wants us to utilize that. But what God did here was amazing. Don't ever forget that what God did with this is not just a nice story to tell at Christmas. What God did was amazing. To have a multitude of his army. How many is that? And by the way, that's the words multitude. That means a huge amount, a crowd. A huge crowd. So a huge crowd of his army come and say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men. Peace. Isn't that amazing? This army declaring peace because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because of the fact that he came as a baby in humility. Remember, Christ is God of all, and he came in meekness. There's the example, because he came... That's why that's one of the reasons I believe that God announced it through shepherds. It was because of their meekness. It was because of their position. Because of their status in society, being meek, being lowly. Folks, if you've never trusted Christ, what we celebrate at Christmas is his coming. What we celebrate at Easter is his sacrifice. But all of that is all involved in one thing. It's called the good news, the gospel. If you've never had the opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to show you the gospel from the Word of God so that you could have a personal relationship with God. Not just a religion. We don't do religion. But a personal relationship where you can call the God of the universe your Abba, your Daddy, your Father. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, then remember, this isn't just a story. This is truth unveiled. This is supernatural. This is amazing that Jesus Christ would even come out of his love. He did, but that he would even do that. But not only that, but that he came and who he made it known to was not the super influential, rich, amazing people. Who he made it known to were those who no one would have considered would be worthy of that. Guess what we are not worthy of? Any of this. But through his grace and his mercy, and especially his love, he shared it with us. Remember that. There can be no pride with being a follower of Christ, because we don't deserve it. He has done it. Remember that this season. Share that truth with others, that Jesus Christ has come, that he is alive, and that he is in heaven desiring that we have a relationship with him. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the truth of your word, that Lord God, you sent your only begotten Son. Father, that's amazing. You sent your only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him can have eternal life. Really? Because you didn't send your Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Really? Why? Because you love us. For God so loved the world. Oh, Father, if we could only catch that, then we would love the world too. Not the things of this world, but the people. So much so that we would, like the shepherds, tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. So that they might catch this truth too. Help us, Father, through our life, to show the truth to others. We love you. It's through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.